Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The first reading is from the book of Acts, starting with chapter 20, starting with the 17th verse. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock from which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. One of those days, bittersweet, right? Well, let's start off with something we know, someone that's familiar to us, someone else. Of course, we know George Washington. George Washington was the first president of our country, and by all accounts, was a man who is treasured in his time, a man who was steady and steadfast, a man of character, a man of integrity, and one that we could trust as a nation to get things started. He was the general of our Continental Army in a time when things weren't really going all that well against the most powerful army of its day, the British Army. The Continental Army nearly failed many times, nearly crumbled several times, from starvation, from guys leaving, from a lack of success. But we did finally pull it out, and as a nation, here we are more than two centuries later, celebrating. He was also fundamental in the formation of our Constitution, and the development of our Constitution was, and of course, we still celebrate today. Our laws and everything center itself on that. And, of course, he became our president the first two times of our, twice, for 8 years as our first president. And then the day finally came in 1798 where he gave his farewell address before the next election. And no country at the time, you got to understand, there were generations, the older generation remembered what it was like to have George Washington lead them through so much and to come so far. And there was a younger generation at that time that also knew no one else other than George Washington at that time. And they were probably asking, what are we going to do without George? George was the guy who made it all kind of come together, and we depend on George. And the similar thing is going on today as we think about Acts chapter 20, as Paul is saying goodbye to his friends at Ephesus. What are we going to do without Paul? I mean, he's the guy, he's all we've known. He's the beginning of things. It's because of him that we've come to faith in Jesus. But as we see in our scripture text, and as we see in our readings today, there is a future. There is a day that we get to go on, and we get to do new things, and new things will come. And so let's take our attention now to Acts chapter 20, and we realize just a little bit of what's going on here. Is Paul is more or less on his third missionary journey, really making sort of a farewell tour. And as you see the northern route in red, and you see the southern route in red, the southern route is his way back to Jerusalem. He's trying to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost so he can celebrate there. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's leading him there, because it's there that things will take a different direction, where he'll be arrested, where he'll be taken ultimately to Rome, where he'll have to witness before the top officials of Rome itself. And there he will lose his life. He knows that this is the farewell tour, but he's going anyway. And he lands at Miletus, 30 miles from Ephesus. He calls on the elders of the church to come and visit with him. And together they talk, and there he has sort of his farewell message, his farewell speech. And I love this, because you see a relationship there. You see love, they hugging each other, and they're kissing on each other, and they see sadness and tears. This is a deeply moving moment in Paul's life, something we're familiar with today. And so as we look at this, we realize that Paul is a man who got integrated into his people. And we see that he says, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came until the province of Asia. I served the Lord with humility and tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." And we see there, Paul, another part of that passage that I didn't mention up there, is that he went house to house. He involved himself with the people of Ephesus. He knew their names. He knew their lives. He knew their kids. He probably baptized a lot of them. He was very much involved with that community. For 3 years, this is how he lived with the Ephesians. And now it was time to say goodbye. And so they're having a hard time with that. But we celebrate something similar to that today. Mitzi Lyon, who's been with us 18 years officially, 25 years, you know, as a volunteer, we're saying Godspeed and farewell today. Now, it's not the last chapter for either of us, but we want to remember a little bit of that ministry and what made it so important and so meaningful to us. It's because you went house to house, for example, meeting with the kids, meeting with many of us. Many of us have known no one but Mitzi, you know, all these years. Some of us, it's kind of interesting, by the way, grew up, knew her the first time she volunteered, and now our kids are going to Mitzi. That's been here a long time. And so we have these youth trips and mission trips and prayer events and Bible studies, and we get to meet with our friend, and we have confirmations and weddings, and we have been through all kinds of things together, tragedies and celebrations alike. And so it's hard to let go. We understand where Paul is today. But the mission hasn't changed. You see, this is still the Lord's church. This is still God's place. This is still where the ministry happens. There's still work to be done. And yes, there is life after Mitzi. She'll be the first to tell you that. She knows the Lord. And someday there'll be life after me and the rest of us too, who have been here a long time. And grace will carry on. But as we look here, we see what Paul says in Philippians. He says, you know, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Take what I have given you and soak it up and pass it along, character, the faith in Jesus, everything that is important about the gospel, take it with you. Take that message of Jesus and center your lives on him in such a way that everybody can see it. That's ultimately what we're about, each one of us. Let's think about this a little bit further. Why is it? How can we say that by following a godly example, the peace of God will be with you? Well, it's simple, because there is a reality that's out there. The Christian life is a life of ending something and beginning another, always, regularly. And it's the way that we do things, just in the simple notion when Paul says here in our passage, "I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord." The way of repentance is to put aside the old thing for something new, to put aside the sin that was, the lifestyle that was destructive, and replace it with something new that is constructive, that is godly. It is a part of our life. Every time we repent and let go of our sin, that's the process. We crucify the old nature so that the new person might arise and be resurrected and come to life. We say it even from our baptisms. And so something old is replaced by something new. And as we look at Good Friday is the end of the old things, the sin that was conquered there on the cross, or so that something new could come 3 days later. That's what we're celebrating. It's the season we're in. It's Easter. But let's consider it from another angle, the disciples. Let's look at some of the first followers of Jesus. These guys had to learn to let go of old things for new things, didn't they? Simply put, let's give a few examples. They had to let go of their old life. They had to literally leave everything to follow Jesus. That was a big sacrifice. The Lord's not asking all of us to do that. But it is one thing, the very first thing they had to do. It was a true commitment on their part. But they also had to change themselves. They themselves had to change in their mindset. There was a time when they thought that maybe they should be more important than the other disciples, and they fought over who's going to be on the right and on the left. They had to let go of that stuff. Jesus says, "You know, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." And so he set the standard there. There was the idea that the Messiah was going to be a military leader and come and conquer everybody for the sake of his favorite people, the Jews. That's not why he came. He came to that all people might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. They had to learn these things. They had to learn to let go of ideas such as the blind man suffering because of some sin in John 9. No, it is for the glory of God. And so it is with us as well. We have to unlearn things. We have to put things aside, change who we are in order to become what God intends for us to be. To let go of the old and bring in the new. That happens for all of us. And some of the biggest challenges in that, as we know, is to learn how to put aside the eye for the eye thing, fight fire with fire, and bring grace to the moment, forgiveness and love instead. That's not easy to do, but it is one of the things that we learn. One of the fundamental things about being Christian is that there are endings of things, endings of ourselves, so that Christ can bring the new things. And so we have that change. Let's think about it another way. You and I do change. And we have accepted some of those changes. And the time that you have been here, think about this. Mitzi, you ready for this? I'm just going to show our age. Picture just for you there. 18 years ago, officially, when she started, I started about the same time. And 25 years ago, really, get those times, put those in your head for a moment. 25 years ago, Trish and I were just meeting. Yeah, think about that. And 18 years ago, my boys were 2 and 4, and they, of course, they were hiding and sneaking and trying to surprise you all the time back then. Back then, Bug was little. She was our girlfriend at the time. There are a lot of things that were different. Back then, my hair was black, and she wasn't coloring hers. Think about that one. But think about what the kind of things that were going. 25 years ago, we didn't have a preschool wing. 18 years ago, it was brand new. About 25 years ago, some of us might have had a bag phone in our car for emergencies. Now, we don't think twice about pulling our phones out of our pockets, right? Did you realize a smartphone, by the way, came in 2007? And Facebook and SnapFace and all the other ones that are out there. The social media things. They're roughly only about 10 years old. Put that in perspective. It's like they've always been there. We don't know any different. So these things have changed over time, and we have grabbed hold of those things and made them a part of our world, part of our lifestyle and the way we do things. We don't even think twice about pulling cell phones out or doing some of the things. We don't think twice about what's going on in our culture. We get used to those things, and we adapt. Change is part of life. And so it is at church, here at Grace, change has come again. Do you realize that in 7 years, Grace is going to celebrate its 100th anniversary? Yeah, 100 years this congregation's been together. And guess, I know this is going to surprise some of you, but it wasn't always at this address. At one time, it was at Charlestown Road, and one time it was actually over a pool hall, otherwise known as a bar, back in the day when it first started. It's a Lutheran church. It's okay. And so what I'm saying is that there have been changes along the way, and somehow we have managed to overcome, by the grace of God, new things have come, and we have been blessed by them. And guess what? There have been other pastors and other leaders before us. And some of you will remember their names. You could probably recall them now. And guess what? There will be others after us, won't they? Believe it or not, there'll be life after Mitzi, life after Pastor Woods, life after even Pastor Kishnick. Life after Helen. Life after the long-standing Karen Meredith, who's been here forever. Longer than all of us. People are going to come. God is going to take care of his church. Jesus is the only one that's the great I am. Think about this, please. Put this in your head. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. We're the imperfect. The perfection's coming to us. Jesus has given it. The perfection is given to us in the church. But notice also, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift around. We're the ones that need the change, not him. And he's giving us all of those things, the death and resurrection, the cross in the Easter morning, the empty tomb, all of those things are changed. Those are for us. And he's given those to us in such a way that we might become something other than we are, that we might become brand new, literally on a daily basis, and draw closer to the Lord. That's been her ministry. That's been our ministry here at Grace. The center of ourselves in the gospel is always about Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us a future, even here. Let's go on. Paul says a couple other things. Paul shares some warning. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in and among you and will not spare the flock. So be on your guard. There are those in Paul's time who would try to unseat the gospel, who try to center things in themselves and make themselves important. One thing as a Christian that we all do, especially as leaders, is that by the time we're done, if we've done our job right, it's Jesus you think about. Anyone that comes in and does anything other than that is not a good person, not a good leader in that regard. They need to learn a few things first. They need to adjust and change. And we're going to have our obstacles in front of us. Be on your guard. The temptations are going to come. There's no one ever going to be like Mitzi again. It's never going to be the same. It's never going to be good again. I'm just going to quit. We're not going to come anymore. Forget it. That's the temptation. Forget Wednesday. We'll wait for the new guy to figure himself out and maybe we'll try him. Or maybe we'll wait for the next gal to come and we'll see what she's like. But no one will be like that, so I don't know that I can even bother to go. And as parents, we can just say, forget it. You know, I don't have time for that. There's nobody there anyway. And we can think for ourselves that way. We think about ourselves that way. But it isn't about us. There is opportunity still to grow, and there are still ministry things going on here. There will be a future. And there will be someone new that will come in and center us again on Jesus. Until then, we place ourselves into the Lord's care, and we know that the Lord will take care of us that way. By the way, just a reminder, at one time, Mitzi Lion Schmelz was new. She was a lot newer than this at one time. We were all newer at one time, right? Pastor came almost 30 years ago. He was new one time. I wonder what we're getting for a vicar. You know, the Lord has blessed us. And that's going to continue. Let's go on. By the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is how we carry on. We have the tools. The Spirit of God is with us. Jesus talks about that. The Spirit of God will live with you and be in you. It is the Spirit of God that equips us for the future. It's why we're ready, why we believe, why we know Jesus like we do, and why we as a church will carry on. Carry on, and we will. When Paul was finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again, and then they escorted him to the ship. And you see that embracement going on. You see the sadness there, but I love this, they prayed. It's prayer in transition, if you will. And, you know, I can't think of a better way to carry on but to pray for Mitzi, to pray for the new person, to pray for our youth ministry, to pray for our kids, to pray for our families, to pray for our congregation, and ultimately to praise God while we're doing those things, to give thanks for what we have and what he's given us, and give thanks for what we know lies ahead for us in Jesus. It's important that we pray and give thanks. Good way to end things. Let's call this out. Yeah. We remember talking about our friend George Washington when we started, right? It's interesting that we're still talking about him all these years later. But he was a guy of integrity. There are stories told about him, character that reveal what kind of guy he really was. And we want to implement that mindset, right? We want to use that personality to inspire. Well, we've got inspiring things to pass on, too. A little story being told. You know where I'm going with this. My first year and a half I was here, I managed to drag my thumb through the table saw. Split it open. I got x-rays if you want to see them. So I wake up the next morning after news gets out, and I got all these little paper hands sticking up out of my grass. With thumbs up. Dozens of them out there, right? And I'm half dopey because of medicine I'm taking. I'm like, what in the world just happened here? And then there's a picture of people with plates over their faces and question marks, you know. I've been found, I guess. But what's fun about that, why I bring it up, is because it's just one of the many, many stories over 18-some years that we can talk about that help us connect to the relationship that we have. And see, we can do that today. And as we look ahead, as we think back, and we do all of these things at the same time, we trust that the Lord Jesus is going to give us a future. But we look back with fondness, remembering the things that count. And God willing, those are the things that will inspire the next generation and the next people that we meet, so that the good stuff is passed along. May God bless us as we transition. God bless you, Mitzi, as you carry on your next chapter. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.